Christ Fellowship. We, as people migrate in, we'll start the first song, and it's nice and long. It's got several verses, so it'll be a good migrating in song. So let's praise the Lord. For we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Once no people, now God's people, proclaiming His marvelous life. Sing the songs of faithful Zion, we are the stars and grains of sand. Through our faith we are glorious, we are the sons of Abraham. Oh, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Once no people, now God's people, proclaiming His marvelous light. Dance the steps of joyful Zion, cymbals, harps, and tambourines. Blow the trumpet sound of glory in the presence of the Lord. For we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Once no people, now God's people, proclaiming His marvelous light. Taste the fruit of peaceful valleys, sip the wine and eat the bread. Know the shepherd who is guiding, the Lord, the Lamb of God. For we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Once no people, now God's people, proclaiming His marvelous light. We will serve through tribulation, we will follow to the cross. Know the death and pain of suffering, God wipe the tears from our eyes. For we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Once no people, now God's people, proclaiming His marvelous now. God's people, proclaiming His marvelous now. God's people, proclaiming His marvelous life.
Amen.
Morning, everybody. You may have a seat. My name is Eric Byram. I'm one of the pastoral elders here at Grace Fellowship Church. I just want to welcome you on this beautiful September Sunday. This is that wonderful time of the year. We got sunshine. We got yellow jackets. I don't like the yellow jackets, but I do like the sunshine and the cooler weather. We've been working through Psalm in the 70s, and I want to look at Psalm 76 this morning as our call to worship. So we're going to be talking today about God and who He is. So listen in this psalm of who it says God is. So let's listen together as we read Psalm 76. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. His abode has been established in Salem, His dwelling place in Zion. There He broke the flashing arrows, the shield, the sword, and the weapons of war. Glorious are you, more majestic than the mountains full of prey. The stout-hearted were stripped of their spoil. They sank into sleep. All the men of war were unable to use their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both rider and horse lay stunned. But you are to be feared. Who can stand before you when once your anger is roused? From the heavens you utter judgment. the earth feared and was still, when God arose to establish judgment to save all the humble of the earth. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you, the remnant of wrath you will put on like a belt. Make your vows to the Lord your God and perform them. Let all around him bring gifts to him who is to be feared, who cuts off the spirit of princes, who is to be feared by the kings of the earth. So we see here that we are not to fear men, we are to fear God. He is God, we are not. And because we are in Christ, this fear is not one of terror, but more of awe, of respect, recognizing that he is the Lord and we are not. So let's come before God in his holy splendor. Let's lift up our hands in praise to this great God who we serve. Let's do that together this morning, Grace Fellowship.
When all I see is a mountain.
second and fourth week of the month, we come together for the Lord's table, communion, the Lord's Supper, lots of different names for it. And the key point of this is to remember. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And I just want to think about, what are we remembering here? And it actually relates to the passage we're going to speak on today. I love how this, in verse 3 of 1 Peter 1, it says, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we have a living hope, which is in Jesus. A lot of people are hoping in things. This is an election year. There's hope that, oh, is change going to happen? Or will things get better? And we all have learned, if you've been on this earth any bit of time, to put our hope in those sorts of things often leads to disillusionment and to cynicism, right? He is the living hope. He is what we hope in. We hope in his body that was broken for us. Like the curtain of the temple was torn, his body was torn and gave you and I access to the very presence of God Almighty, the Holy of Holies. His blood was poured out. You know the sacrificial system. The blood represents the life of the animal. You and I, our lives were demanded for our sins. So he took the payment that you and I should have paid, and he paid it himself. So all of it is covered. So that's what we're remembering this morning. Let's take just a moment. It's always good. Paul encouraged us to do this before we partake of the Lord's Supper, to examine ourselves. So say, Lord, just search my heart. Test me and know my heart. See if there's anything in me that is not right with you. This is a great time for confession to God. Let him identify things. If something comes to mind, bring that to the cross. Bring that to the cross right now. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. And not only that, but he will purify us. So take your sins to the cross right now. Don't let them hang over you. Don't let guilt and shame cover you. Lay it at the foot of the cross now. Jesus, we thank you that you are good, kind, chesed, merciful Savior. We bring before you those things that stand between you and us. Take them away now. We turn from our sin. We turn towards you. Amen. So the way we partake of the Lord's Supper here is we will come up row by row down the center. You can come through. You can get regular bread. There's gluten-free here. And then a cup. And then you can go back to your seat and partake at any time you wish. Maybe it's with the group you're with or by yourself. I'm going to ask those who are part of the prayer ministry here. They're going to come up first, and they will be at the back willing to pray with you. This is a great time if you need prayer for something. Something is on your heart. Just avail yourself of this opportunity to be prayed for now. So I'm going to ask those that are with the prayer ministry to come up first. The table of the Lord is open.
Savior, glorious Lord.
silence, reflect on that. He's your living hope. That song perfectly speaks it. Jesus, picture your hope set on something else, and you're moving it now to Jesus. You're taking that other thing off the shelf, putting him at the highest spot. Or your beauty, your handsomeness, your family, your inheritance, your car, whatever it is that you tend to put that hope in. He's the hope. That other stuff pales in comparison. It's never going to mean it. It's never going to do it. It will always let you down. He will not. Sentence prayers of making him your hope, that you want to cry out to him now. Too often, but I was just sensing in my spirit. I was reading this morning in Acts 4 when Peter and John walked into the temple and they looked at the paralytic and he was healed by the name of Jesus. I just feel the Lord wants to release healing this morning. And if you have something that you need healed of, I want you just to take a moment now to ask the people next to you to pray for you. Just take a moment, just. There's something you think, there's no hope that this could get better. There's no hope. Let's just ask the Lord to bring healing this morning. Temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by his right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as one who had sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And this then led to Peter sharing a gospel message and many turning to the Lord, the chief priests being confounded because this man was 40 years old. He had been dealing with this for 40 years. Oh Lord, just think of so many issues, so many things that people are dealing right here. Lord, would you show up in some way this morning? Would you bring healing? And give us the boldness to look at you and expect something. Sometimes we've gotten so used to just maybe hearing a no that we just don't think you will do it. So Lord, bring your spirit and power this morning. Feel like you do need prayer, we have the Circle Church groups after service. That's also a great place to have a group surround you and pray for you. I know we did that last week for one of the women in our group. It was a powerful moment, so don't be ashamed to ask for prayer for something. You have a bunch of caring people here that want to see you touched by the Lord. Okay, I'd like to ask those who are helping with the offering to come forward. We have these baskets that you can put your communion cups in that are rectangular, and the others can be any offerings you wish to give. Lord, we thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You've given us work. You've given us skills. You've provided us with all that we need. We give back what we have now to you as an offering of praise. May it be used for your kingdom and your glory. Grant us generous and glad hearts just to bless others in crazy ways, and may we do that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to dismiss the kids to Sunday school, so if you are fifth grade and below, you can go with your teachers up to the Sunday school. Let's just extend our hands to pray for these kids. Lord, may they know you, not just about you. May you be their God. May they grow in knowledge of you. Help them to listen and have ears to hear this morning. Grant the teachers your grace to teach. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Tom, I'm going to call you up once I get done talking about the birthdays. But, yeah, we're going to have a testimony. You got to go upstairs? Okay, so come on up, Tom, then. Tom has a testimony to share about the men's retreat real quick as he's getting ready to go up to teach, though. So.
Well, good morning. We had a great retreat yesterday. But before I share about the retreat, the last few words of the last song, that Jesus is our living hope, has really meant something to Kathy and I as our counseling ministry has gone through one of the most severe attacks it's ever had. And Jesus is our living hope. That's really powerful.
some birthdays. My mom, Nancy Byram, is celebrating a birthday today, as is Matt Gotzel. So, Matt and Nancy, happy birthday to you all. Juliana Bass is celebrating a birthday tomorrow. Then on the 12th, Suzanne Buzza and Rye Rutherford are celebrating birthday together. And then on the 13th, we got Karis Vega and Kira Gardner both celebrating on the 13th. And finally, Christina Bass on the 15th. So this is a busy week with birthdays. We also have an anniversary. James and Rochelle Coleman on the 13th will be celebrating their anniversary. So happy anniversary, James and Rochelle. You might notice we still have some plants up here. If you are a person that should have got a plant, please take it. Please take it home. So there are plants with no home here. So they're calling out your name. Yeah, the teachers of the Sunday school. So if you didn't get one last week, and if you don't take it, then next week, whoever wants it can have it. So, all right. Dance team, this week is starting at 4:45 p.m. on Monday at Debbie Key's house. We're starting that practice for Davidic dance. So Debbie here has raised her hand. So if you have any questions about that, I'm sure she would love to tell you about it. Men and women. So if you like to dance and be part of that, that would be awesome. We have our connect groups on Wednesday, so this is a great time to go deeper with the Lord and each other. So those are at 6:30 to 8 on Wednesday. There's adult connect, there's teen connect, and there's kids connect. So feel free to come out with those. This Saturday, the 14th, we have a work day at 9 a.m. So Mitch is going to be getting lots of jobs. He and I went around. Mitch, come on up. Come on up and share. I see you standing there, so we want to hear from you.
Actually, we want to start at 8:30, so I should have the coffee ready and some snacks, too. And we have some people already that are lined up to do some various projects. And we do need someone to wash the windows on the third floor. Yeah, we have a special lady here who's excellent at wiping windows amongst her many talents. But I appreciate all of you who'd want to come out. We'll pretty much ended at 12 o'clock, and the main thing is pray that the weather be good. We've got a lot of outdoor projects, so it'd be helpful if the weather is good. So see you all at 8:30 next Saturday. Take care. This Saturday. Okay.
Thanks, Mitch. Also, next Sunday, the 15th, we're going to have a community meeting in the evening from 6:30 to 8 p.m. We're going to be talking about eldership and candidates for elders, so please come out for that if you're a member. And finally, the 21st of September is our Fall Family Fun Night. This is a great opportunity to invite friends. It's a time of fellowship. We're going to probably do soup and that sort of thing. We usually have people bring a pot of soup. So if you have a favorite chili recipe or soup recipe you would like to bring, please let Kay know or let me know. We'd like to know what we're going to have for that evening. You know, I don't even know. I wonder if the Rutherfords may even consider doing the apple press. But, hey, you never know. So that's a nice fall fun thing. So if you feel like bringing that, you know, if not, that's okay. I don't want to put you on the spot, Tully. So what? Except that I did, yeah. So, but Katie does that. She'll call people out. She's like, you do this. You know, so. Oh, I don't know yet. So. Whether or not we have the apple press, I would love to have you guys either way. So, all right. All right, transition. Whoa, that is hot, Mike. Okay. All right. So, have you ever savored something? Do you know what that word savor means? You know, one thing I think of when I hear the word savor, you know those Lindt chocolate commercials? Where it shows this masterful chocolatier, he's like pouring his stuff into the Lindt, and then the lady or the guy is sitting there with that little piece of chocolate, and they're like, oh, they're in heaven, there's clouds above them, and they're savoring the chocolate. You know, I have to work at savoring things. If you've ever gone out to eat with me, or if you've talked to my wife, I'm always the first done. I eat quickly. I try to slow myself down. I don't think that I'm, like, shoveling in my face, but, you know, maybe you say, well, actually, Eric, you do. You know, I think I figured out why, though. I'm the youngest of four boys, so I grew up, if you weren't fast, you didn't eat, you know. My mom would joke that, you know,
an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, that's all of you and me, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time.
Idea of savoring who God is and what he's done, I'd like to look at four aspects that I see coming out in this passage. First, God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second, in his mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope. Third, he has given us an eternal inheritance. And finally, he is guarding us until the end. So let's look at the first point. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You might say, well, Eric, why are you emphasizing that? What does this mean? Well, if he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, then everything that Jesus has done has his stamp of approval. Some people think Jesus is a nice guy. He's a teacher. He's a prophet. But you can kind of pick and choose what you want of his sayings and apply those to your life like an a la carte spirituality. But if Jesus truly is fathered by God the Father, if he has God's stamp of approval, then everything he has said is God speaking to you and I. Have you read the statements? They're kind of hard. He challenges us. He challenges our selfishness. He challenges us in many ways. So, are you and I worshiping the God who's the Father of Jesus Christ? The world wants to sell us a lot of different ideas of who God is. But what Peter is saying is here, and he's also talking, think of a Jew hearing this. They might say, God, I worship God, but I reject Jesus. He's saying, no, can't do that. Jesus is begotten by God. He is God, because he uses the word Lord there. So there's aspects of the Trinity coming in here that would be really offensive to a Jewish person hearing this. They could say, I worship God, you worship God, we all worship God. But if God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, then Jesus, think of Jesus' statement where he said, I am the truth, I am the way, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's in a very exclusive statement. It's very offensive in today's world. If you said that statement at the Olympics, or at the UN or other places, you think people would get upset? Yes. There are not many ways to God. There is one way to God, Jesus Christ. It very much goes in the face of our pluralistic culture. So what Peter's saying, he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are worshiping God, if you're savoring who God is who God is. Not a God of your imagining, not a New Age God, not an a la carte God of little ideas you want to cobble together. It's the God of the Bible who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. If that's not who you're worshiping, then you're not really worshiping God. You're worshiping something of your own imagining. So not only are we connected to God the Father through Jesus Christ, secondly, in his mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope. We had a lot of songs today about this living hope. It's a very famous verse. Good one to memorize. I encourage you. These verses are so packed full of theology and who God is. They're good ones to memorize and put in your heart. This word for mercy says, in his mercy. It might be easy to overlook mercy as we're thinking of living hope. But there's a version of the Old Testament that was translated into Greek. It's called the Septuagint. So when these people translated the Hebrew, if they put a Greek word for one of the Hebrew words, we know that they're kind of tied together. So the word hesed, mercy, is the same word in Hebrew that they're using here in the Greek. And what is hesed? Have you ever heard of hesed? Mitch, how would you describe hesed? Loving, faithful, kindness. It's one of those words you can't use one word. It's almost like a sentence. Right? You have
describe it. It's loving, faithful, kindness, and mercy. It's hard to translate into English. It's the word, I believe, that Jonah used. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew God was chesed. He's like, God, you're so merciful, you're probably going to forgive those Ninevites. I don't want to go to them because I know that when they hear and if they respond, you'll actually forgive them. I don't want that. They're my enemies. You know, I've been reading in the prophets, and over God's, you know, talking about the Jews and they're going into exile. I'm reading Hosea right now, and, you know, he's saying, you played the whore to the Jews. He's using harsh words like that. Yet then he's saying, yet in my chesed, after you have gone through this time of discipline, I'm going to draw you back to myself. Even though they had cheated on him. Imagine those of you that are married, if your spouse cheated on you, not just once, but continually, over and over, though they were confronted, you probably would not want to stick with them. But God is saying, I'm like this spouse that has been cheated on, and yet I still keep going after you. I still keep buying you back. It's scandalous. We don't like to think of God that way often. But he is merciful. And it says here, let me read this in light of that. According to his great mercy, his chesed, what has he done? He has caused us to be born again. Ooh, we get into this free will, predestination dialogue here. Well, you know, it appears to be free will, but he's the one that even gave you that desire. He drew you. He has caused us to be born again. You did not make all that happen. He has chosen you. If you have responded to the gospel, if you have felt his tug on your heart, that didn't really come from you. That came from God. I'm looking at this passage. And, you know, I'm not going to parse all that out. Sometimes we can argue about the nuances of that. But it seems to be saying here, he caused, and one way they say it is, he brought to light. He is the creator of this new birth that you and I have experienced. Born again. Where else do we see that word born again? In John 3. Do you know when that was used? Nicodemus. So Nicodemus was scholar of scholars, top guy in his field. And Jesus, he went and met with Jesus at night. And Jesus must be born again. And Nicodemus is just going, how can an old guy like me go back in my mom's womb and be born again? It seems like craziness. And Jesus said, this is spiritual. This isn't actual physical born again. But, you know, have you ever wanted a retry? Who here plays video games? Maybe those of us under 40, right? Isn't it nice in video games? You get to a second life. You get to respawn. Whatever, you know. Wouldn't you like a do-over in life? Born again, a new start, a new way of looking at things. That's what he has done for us. That's who God we serve is. So we've been born again into two things here, he says. A living hope and an inheritance. So let's unpack this idea of a living hope. Have you ever had your hope in something that failed you? You know, I think of Christmas. When I was a little kid, I just couldn't wait for Christmas. And my mom and dad were very generous. They gave me good gifts, but do you remember after opening those gifts, even if there were a ton of them, you kind of had a Christmas letdown? You got all that stuff around you, and you're like, is there more? Or it didn't quite meet that huge hope you had. Or maybe as a birthday. Or maybe you were looking forward to going to Cedar Point or whatever. And though it was fun, it just kind of didn't have all that you hoped for. All of us have this God-sized hole in our heart that nothing will fill except God himself. So if you're trying to fill that hole with anything but the Lord, it's always going to fall short. So that's what he's talking about here. Jesus is our living hope. When you and I make him our Lord and Savior, he fills that hole in you that's so large and looming with his living hope that's able to fill it, actually. One commentator described us as being plunged into living hope. You're not just dipping your toe in, you're diving in, cannonballing into it. find that you don't fall on your face, but rather you're taken care of and lifted up. So, question to you, Grace Fellowship. I don't know where everybody's at with him. Have you wholly dived into Jesus? Have you trust falled into Jesus? You know, you remember doing trust falls? Anyone done a trust fall? You fall backwards, and if you don't trust them, you kind of do the bow shape, and then it actually can cause them to drop you. You have to trust and lean back. For me, the ultimate trust fall was rappelling. I don't know if any of you have done rappelling, but getting up to a cliff edge, leaning out, leaning out, leaning out, leaning out, now starting to go down. You're going, man, I hope that guy tied the knot right. I really hope, I'm totally trusting this rope. And it's really hard because I remember to lean back. I kind of wanted to grab the edge of the cliff and start climbing down, but you got to lean back. Have you done that with Jesus? Grace Fellowship, have you totally made him your living hope? Or are you still hedging your bets, still trying to maybe this, maybe that? I guarantee you, if you lean into him, he will not fail you. You could probably talk to many here today that would give testimony to that. I think of Ray. Ray, has the Lord ever failed you? Thanks, Ray. Good answer. But Tom, has the Lord ever failed you? There's been hard times, though, right? There's been hard times. Dan, has the Lord ever failed you? You can lean into him. There's people here that have walked this road a long time. Doesn't mean they never had any problems, any bumps in the road. All those I've asked today, I can think of many hardships they've gone through, some even very recently, that Jesus is their living hope. So, God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has had great chesed mercy towards us to cause us to be born again into living hope. Third, he has given us an eternal inheritance. Anyone here ever receive an inheritance? Some might have. Yeah. It's nice. You don't earn it. It's suddenly there, and you go, oh, my goodness. Or maybe, oh, my goodness, how small it was. But I don't know. But we are born again into a living hope, but also in an eternal inheritance. And it uses three words to describe this inheritance: imperishable, undefiled, unfading. In the Greek, they're all used the same letter at the beginning. So it's kind of using that alliteration if you're an English person. Alliteration kind of just punches it in over and over again. It's also described as secure, kept in heaven for you. An inheritance is something for which we wait. We don't have it yet. Peter's going to unpack what this inheritance is in further verses. But for now, we're saying we have a good eternal inheritance. Something that's it's imperishable. It's not going to die. It's undefiled. You know, I think of people that win the lottery. Have you ever seen some of those stories about people that win the lottery? What happens to them? They suddenly have a lot of friends. A lot of them, it doesn't go so well. A lot of us think, if I only won the lottery, all my problems would go away. Actually, you'd have a lot more problems, my friend. And a lot of those people end up really messing their lives up. So this inheritance is not going to mess you up. It's not going to defile you. It's pure. It's going to lead to good stuff. And it's, what's the last word? Let me look at it. Unfading. This is like a flower. The flower blooms and it droops. You know, I got my wife flowers for her birthday, and that was last Sunday. They're already starting to die. Travis, though, he's a smart guy. He got her Lego flowers. Good job, Travis. Imperishable, unfading. Will last till forever. Plastic, right? So, but this isn't going to fade. You know, I think of Eric back in his 20s. He was skinny. He had lots of energy. Maybe you think of yourself, you're like, I used to have more hair. I was pretty. Like a flower, we all fade. This inheritance is not going to fade. You can depend on it. So is it, you know, and this, is it something for which we are being prepared? So are you ready for your inheritance? And that's what what Peter's going to unpack a little bit is that God is using sufferings and all sorts of stuff in your life to prepare you for this inheritance. You know, I think of people who aren't prepared for inheritance. I don't know if I've used this illustration, but when I was in middle school, there was a young man in Galleon. I hope he's not here today, but I don't think he is. But might listen to this. I might get a call. But his dad passed away. He got this huge life insurance settlement before he was 18. And I remember he went out and bought this sweet pickup truck, put these big old speakers in it, and they spray-painted the side of it. It was called Thumper. Do you guys remember Thumper? Did it ever come over to Mansfield? And Thumper was so much bass. I remember you could, in school, it would shake the windows. They probably had the police calling and complain about Thumper. But Thumper didn't last. He used a lot of his inheritance on something that was fading, that wasn't imperishable. Peter's talking about how the sufferings and persecutions that you and I go through are going to make us ready for this amazing inheritance we're getting from the Lord. The Bible often describes salvation in several tenses. You have been saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. So you say to me, well, which one is it? I was like, yes, all three. And I'm reading a great book Jerry gave me. I would encourage you to pick up a copy. Ask Jerry, he might even get you a copy. The Gospel Primer, right? And it has 31 devotionals in it, all about the gospel. And it just really says, preach the gospel to yourself every day. The gospel is what saves you. It's what keeps you motivated to keep serving the Lord. You know, you and I don't just pray a little prayer at an altar or at a VBS, and then we're done with the gospel. I'm saved, and that's back there. You are saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. We swim in the pool of the gospel all the time, every day. And I would strongly argue that seems to be what the inheritance is. The gospel, the salvation that's going to be revealed at the last time in verse 5. So this moves us to the last point. God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's had great mercy towards us, causing us to be born again into a living hope. And he's given us an eternal inheritance. And finally, he's guarding us till the end. I love how verse 5 says that we are guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. What do you think of when you think of God's power? So power usually is a demonstration. What has God done? Created the universe. He speaks galaxies into existence. If you like follow space stuff, you know how massive our galaxy is. And then there's a billion other galaxies. That's power of God. What else is power of God? The resurrection, right? He talks about that. And if you look also, the gospel is called the power of God. So the same power that's equated with like creating galaxies is also said to be inside of us in the gospel. God's transforming power. By his power, he is guarding you. So if you struggle with worry or with fear, you probably haven't got this yet. You've got to preach this to yourself every day. Because you're not really believing that he's got you. He's got you. You're not leaning into that trust fall. And that's one reason we have each other. We can encourage one another. If you see someone struggling with worry, struggling with fear, struggling with doubt, just come on, put your hand on his shoulder and say, he's got you. I've got you. We've got each other, but he ultimately has got you. And remind each other of these great truths. Grace Fellowship, you may be going through amazingly hard stuff. I don't know what each one is dealing with. I have an inkling. I hear stuff. Are you entrusting yourself to God's care right now with what you're going through? The power that made galaxies, the power that raised Jesus from the dead will guard you in what God is doing in you. Nothing will be able to take that away. Here, though, is it does say this, umbrella up, getting close to him, you don't get the rain on you. Are you coming close to God? Are you trusting him, coming under his protection? It's there for you. It's there for me. We, though, have to trust. And trust means drawing near. Trust means putting our hope in the living hope. Okay, if you might say, so what do I got to do? Draw near to him. Abide. Be still and know he is God. This isn't about doing a bunch of good works and trying to earn God's favor. It's just saying, you're going to save me? I'm with you. I trust you. Are you doing that today? You might say, well, I don't know if I've ever done that, Eric. You know, Romans 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth that, you know, he is Lord, you will be saved. So say, I trust you, Jesus. It's not that complicated, but it is more complicated in how it works out in life. Trust comes in a million steps. It's not something you did yesterday. It's something you're doing today and you will do tomorrow. Trust is an ongoing walk. The Lord. So, Peter starts this letter to people who are facing really tough persecution with a reminder of the important things that give them a foundation on which to stand through the storms that are going to come. I don't know what storms are coming for us here today. Some speak ominous, like, oh, America's going to get it. I don't know if America's going to get it, but you will face trouble. You are going to face persecution if you call on the name of Jesus, some form or fashion. What is going to be your foundation? And it's hard to build a foundation once the storm hits. So my question to you today is, where is your hope? On what is your foundation built? On what do you lean for protection? These are questions to ask and to answer before the storm hits. If you're asking them when the storm is already hitting, it's often too late. It's hard to fix a boat when it's out in the water, right? If it's got a leak, it's hard to fix it when it's floating in the middle of a storm. You're too busy just trying to keep everything going. So, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. I don't know if you've been holding off, you've been not quite trusting Jesus, but today, I'm calling you as the word calls you. There's an opportunity. Don't miss your opportunity. Take advantage of the opportunity to come to Jesus today if you haven't. It was interesting. I was listening. You guys remember Noah Stone? So Noah used to go here. Laura found a recording. He is a preacher now. Noah's a preacher. He's about Ethan's age, maybe 22. And I was listening to his message. And boy, does he have a Kentucky accent now. But it's fun. But he was sharing how, you know, he didn't know the Lord. He grew up at Grace Fellowship. He went to other churches, and until he was 14, he thought he was saved, but he wasn't. He never had accepted the Lord. And I don't think it's anything to do with us or not preaching the gospel. There is sometimes you might be have sat here for years, and it just never clicked. I remember a boy in my youth group at Galleon. When he was a senior, he accepted the Lord. And I was like, Rob, I thought you knew the Lord this whole time. He's like, no, I didn't. I don't know where you are today, but maybe the light has gone on for you today. And you go, I don't think I've ever made Jesus my Lord and Savior. I don't think Jesus is my living hope. Well, today's the day. That light bulb's gone on for you. God is causing you to be born again. He is drawing you to himself. Will you respond? Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I don't know where everybody's at. Some might have heard this for years, and just today it's like, I get it. Lord, we just pray that each one would respond to you, that we would be like that seed that falls on good soil, not the one that's burned up by the sun or the birds snatch away or it's choked out by the cares of this world. I pray the seed planted today would good fruit. If you haven't accepted the Lord today, an easy way to do that is just saying, Jesus, I recognize that. Yes, it's true. You are God. You died. You rose again. that's a great way to get connected here and a great way to get to know others. If you don't know what Circle Church is, it's we get together and we talk about the message. We try to apply it to our lives. We pray for one another. So it's a great chance to get to know folks. There's one that meets in the kitchen, one that meets out here, one that meets in the lobby, and I think one that meets down in the, I call it the multi-purpose room at the end of the Sunday school wing. And youth, there's a circle group for you. If you're sixth grade and above, you can go upstairs to the upper room, and there will be a circle group for you. So I encourage you all to go to that. Don't just drift out. Get connected. Now we're going to stand for a benediction. And by the way, if you're like, oh, where are my kids going to be? They are still in Sunday school to the end of Circle Church. You have a good reason to stick around if they're at Sunday school. So let's just raise our hands just as an act of receiving. This is a blessing. Go forth today savoring who God is and what he has done. Savor the fact that he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Savor the fact that he, in his great mercy, has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Savor the fact that he has given us an eternal inheritance that can never perish, is not defiled, and can never fade, and is kept in heaven for you. Savor the fact that he is guarding you, guarding us with his great power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the